Colorado, and he'll let it go.
I struck up a conversation with Mr. Martin at a skate park. I noticed he had a book called The Art of Seduction. Judging its cover, I had to laugh. It was remarkably vaginal. I promptly jumped to the conclusion that this was one of these creepy self-help books for men about how to effectively play women. So here's this guy who, FYI, is at the skate park without a skateboard, and he doesn't exactly look like the type that needs to employ special tactics to attract women, if you know what I mean. So what is the point of a book like this? I asked if I could look at it. Flipping through the index, I found that Casanova had many entries. For example, calculated surprise of, direct approach of, indirect approach of, mirroring by, mixed signals, and spiritual lures used by. So for you, the point of seduction is manipulation and not pleasure, I asked. Yeah, if you want something from someone, he said. I didn't have the slightest clue what this Mr. Martin would really want from a woman, and I didn't feel like asking. I felt instead vaguely offended by his book and a bit protective of my benign, beloved Casanova, having been under the impression that his epic promiscuity was something of an exemplary nomadic philosophical practice. I haven't gotten far enough into his lengthy memoirs to be able to assert this with total confidence, but I go on believing it because it's something I myself have been exploring. For example, I recently made an artwork consisting of 9 different erotically oriented conversations I had conducted virtually with young men. These were set to music of an aria from Mozart's opera in which Don Giovanni's sexual encounters are enumerated in a ridiculously long list. It's well known that the fictional character Don Giovanni, aka Don Juan, was based on Casanova, yet they had opposite viewpoints on women. In a nutshell, Casanova loved and adored them. Don Juan took advantage of them. Their stories have been conflated and are even, to some extent, reversed as a result of Mozart's opera and of Casanova's known participation in writing it. Thinking about this reversal, this mix-up, made me wonder, maybe my little gospel of free love isn't as benign as I think it is. Maybe I'm just a user, or whatever the female term for womanizer is, milking men to help me write. I felt this striking young man and his little pickup manual could possibly avail me of the opportunity to discuss my virtual engagements in a different, more self-critical light. I had an excellent excuse to query him about this Casanova business, since I had just been commissioned to make an audio piece. Mr. Martin was game for an experiment and seemed to quite like the idea of trying something out in an art studio. And yet when it came down to it, I could tell he wasn't going to be the most reliable of subjects come collaborators. I felt it best to abandon the plan, which was apparently the right move, seeing as how he completely stopped responding to any of my text messages. I decided instead to just make something with the mockingbird that lives outside my window. I never laughed so much at a bird in my life. Nightly, he would have me in stitches after about 2 minutes of listening to his absurd array of offerings. I often pictured him as a kind of peddler of samples, like an intelligent synthesizer perpetually expanding and demonstrating his repertoire. I rarely thought of the little sounds as bird vocabulary words, but just aural forms that may or may not work, so to speak. The amount of times he would repeat something seemed solely based on whether he was proud of it or good at it, and if he had a kind of ho-hum one, he would only do it once and then offer up the next riff for appraisal. Or if he seemed to blunder, he'd force himself to repeat the blunder, a soloist trick. I thought my Mockingbird's offerings could be a good way to bring out the aesthete in the art fair VIPs without actually offering them any art. I mean, art on the way to art? Who needs it, really? When I went to record the Mockingbird, it sounded very different. It was now springtime, and the bird was singing at a different hour and seemed to be giving a much different performance. Another bird in the distance would answer the call in the exact way he delivered it. All his little samples now seemed to have a purpose. I guess he was trying to mate. It wasn't funny or captivating anymore. It was just nature. I don't actually know how mockingbirds get together and mate with other mockingbirds, which I have to assume they do. But it never occurred to me that if all they really need is another mockingbird, then why go beyond your flock? Why mock at all? I don't totally get it. I should try to get it because I really, really disapprove of the metaphor this just turned into. Anyway, when I played back what I recorded, it just sounded like generic bird chatter. Meaningless and uncommanding. So plan B was out. I didn't have a plan C. All I had was regret that plan A didn't allow me to give my $500 artist fee to that enigmatic young man who needed it more than I did. Despite him not knowing I had abandoned the idea of working with him, he remained entirely out of touch, which was a real blow to my ego, him just walking away from my lucrative offer after expressing such enthusiastic interest. I half-heartedly tried to enlist a couple other unlikely collaborators. Not surprisingly, they flaked. I was starting to feel rather desperate. I was like, what is wrong with these guys? The question should have been, what is wrong with me? They weren't really abdicating responsibility. I was. Just as I was on the verge of killing the whole thing, I received the following text message. Hey, damn, I just got out of jail. Police are so fucking disrespectful. I've been in here for 5 days. How you been? Being the inappropriately overgenerous person that I am, I went to pick him up at a metro station to take him to a friend's house, as he didn't have enough money for the train and his car had been impounded. I pulled up, and as he was getting into the passenger seat, he apologized for what he was wearing, which were black sweatpants and a black hoodie. Hoodies were in the news.
Where's the part that I did?
We're recording, we're live.
I don't know, they telling me I'm wanted for robbery. That I fit the description, a lady pointed me out in the lineup. So where I'm telling the detective, how the fuck is there a lineup to win? There was never no, ain't nobody ever approached me to question it. I ain't never had no law enforcement, no authority figure even come at me as in, oh, can we take you down for questioning or come in or... Anyway, he said he showed her a picture of me and she said that's him. After she described me. Oh, light skin, about this tall with curly hair and tattoos. Then they pulled a picture up. But anyway, they arrest me, saying I'm going down for burglary. This is Tuesday. Detectives come see me Wednesday, the next day, to question me, saying they have me on video, their footage, everything. They had no footage, they had nothing. They didn't even show me nothing. They're telling me to write a statement right where I was at through the whole following week. I'm like, no, thank you. Deputies, the bailiff took me downstairs, and the deputies were like, yo, you still have a robbery going.
Look, from everything,
that was these
the thing is, from everything, from what I'm saying is, like I said, it sounds like it's really being scripted to where I didn't really get a chance to, like you said, I didn't tell the car part. I didn't tell the part to where it's like, it's crazy, man. I left a lot of shit out. To where if I just really pace,
like go ahead and speak on
my time. Like I said, I can really just tell a good story.
Just tell about the car. What happened to the car?
There you go.
Like what were you saying
in the
before?
Car that we're in, right? It's this car, right?
No, the car that they kept.
Yeah.
No, it's not this color.
Oh.
That's another thing too. I was trying to let you understand too. Like, it's not this car.
Oh, I didn't know.
The car that they kept is another. They took my car. It's gone. I'm not getting that back.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And I still have property, clothes, schoolwork, books, everything in there. So, I mean, I left that out. Not only did I left it out, the reason why they took it is because they searched the whole vehicle. They tried to open the trunk. And while I'm sitting there in handcuffs talking about, thinking it's just a warrant, they're going to let it go. It's like, they tell me, okay, we're going to come up with a fake charge. And then still, the cop pretends to be like, oh, I'm going to call the detective handling the case to see if I should tow the car or not. And they lie and be like, oh, girl, the person I'm with, the driver, they're like, oh, she got a suspended license. We're going to take the car. And the black detective was like, man, I'm going to call the person handling the case and he'll let it go. And he pretended to call them and came back and was like, no, he said, take the car. We can't get the trunk open. Basically, the reason why they took the car is because they wanted to search the trunk. They figured, you know, we can't get it open. We're going to get it open in the impound. So I don't know what they did to try to get it open, but my car's gone. I owed 2 months on it. It was repoed. And all my things are in there. All my belongings, ID, everything. And just like I said, it's a lot of shit I left out. So we can still...
Another day in the hood.
You know what's crazy too? I got pulled over today.
Yeah, sir.
Right before he came to pick me up in my house.
What?
My boy got pulled over, right?
Oh, your boy?
My baby, boy.
On that.
Your brother.
They didn't find nothing shit on him, right? But they took his ID, his driver's license. And then, after he picked me up, he came to my house to pick me up.
Mm.
We drove back down to where the police were all kicking it at.
Mm-hmm.
The crash unit.
Mm-hmm.
Right there by Jack in the Box on 43rd at the gas station. They were all right there. And Congo got all scared. Like, no, man, don't pull up right there. And I'm telling my boy, I got scared too. And I'm like, look, man, even though you got work and shit on you, they just searched you, let you go. Gave you a ticket. Now's the best time to go in their face and show them, like, hey, I was just released. I just got a ticket. They searched my car. They let me go. But somebody one of you officers took out my ID. And they were talking about, oh, the cop that searched him and let him go. They were like, oh, man, he's a dick. Oh, he took your ID? Oh, he's a dick. We called. We went down there and waited. Started talking to him and shit. Trying to get it back. Like, what are y'all doing today? Oh, we're going to chill here for a bit until we do our rounds. And after that, we just left. Went to the bar, play some pool, and I got picked up. Went to Pasadena. Take a friend to West Covina. Actually pick him up from work and then drop him off from Pasadena. So, but that's crazy too. I had another encounter with him today. So, but this time it was like no harassment, just So basically what you did is you took the beginning part out and started it from...
Oh, on the recording?
No, I'm talking about my part. You took the beginning part out and started it...
Yeah, we weren't trying to make the story. We just picked out the stuff that we thought
certain
sounded...
Certain things, yeah.
The voice and...
That's another thing, too. You don't want it too long. That's what I'm saying. I can give you another version of it, and you can take both versions.
No, we weren't going to use that. That was just to say that's the kind of thing we like.
There you go. That's what you... But still, like I said, I'm going to give you another version of it. And then just... From even the first one to whatever... the demo, whatever you want to call it, tester, you can still take little bits and pieces from that too and just collaborate, bring it together as one.
My job, nigga. Sound like
shit. I don't know how y'all feeling, but I'm just up, you know.
Is the store gonna be open?
Hold on. Yeah, the store is 7-Eleven.
Oh.
It's something right down the street. He went back with a friend from out here, from California. Their car broke down at night. 6 to 10, he said, I can't believe it's either six miles. I don't know why I'm just throwing out six, but it's either 6 to like 10 miles he was away from his town. Mind you, they're in Alabama. Backroads, woods, country. We still got, my dad's back in the day, 28. Even till present today, 2012, if you're caught in Alabama late night, anywhere down south in the country,
dead.
We have Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, they lynch.
They lynch in the burning car. They gonna string you up so fast. My father said two white men approached him with shotguns.
Yeah.
And the guy that he had brung from LA, from California, who they were both living on the streets. Mm. And my dad said when he first came out here, he met him. This now 14 years later, they were still friends.
Mm. He brought him out there. What happened?
He brung this black man from California.
Yeah.
Went out there, Alabama. He was going to go see his family's funeral, mother's funeral. Boom, the car breaks down. They're like 10 miles from town. Two white guys approach with shotguns. What y'all doing around here, boy? And my dad said, that's it. He said, that's it, man. I didn't even say nothing. I didn't try to run or nothing. It was game over.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking I'm dead.
Automatically. Now, yeah.
To where that black guy was.
What'd the Cali guy do?
The Cali guy had a Freemason ring on.
Oh.
Gave the white guy a certain handshake. And my dad said he was tripping out to where these two completely strangers. Hold on, Bobby.
Bobby, no,
he said he gave him a handshake.
I already know the business.
And the white guy, he went from shotguns in his face to where, what are y'all doing around here? What happened? Y'all in the wrong, do y'all know where y'all at? And my father's like, I'm trying to pass through. I'm going through here. I'm trying to get through here. We have a flat. He looked at the other guy, seen that he had a ring on. He had a secret handshake. Turns out they were all like, they were basically Masons. And the white guy told him, you know what? Hey, he called his boy, go get a spare tire, fix these boys' tires up, get them to make sure they get to their town. My dad said he was escorted by that white man all the way to his town.
I was just about to blow his face off.
Yeah,
he'll let it go.
That's too much, man.